Yo, welcome to another episode of Rise and Scan. Gonna be slick today. Hugh's got a hard out in an hour. So yeah.
I always have a hard out.
No, you don't. This is not true. So Hugh was here last week. Last week. Few days ago. Yeah. He was here. Got to sample my environment. Did you enjoy it? Did you have a nice time? How's your nose?
I did. I enjoyed it. I haven't given myself a break like that for I don't know how long. Yeah. Like years. I mean, maybe a decade.
Really? Check you out.
Oh, well, actually, a sober break, never.
Right, okay.
First sober break ever.
Crazy. Yeah. But all he had to do was get hassled by my dog the whole time.
I'd like to say it's a small price to pay, but...
No, it was a fucking ball. Yeah, anyway. So, yeah, I'm sure you can report the Bulgaria is a lovely place.
What have we got to talk about? Oh, Kate Middleton's got cancer. Sorry to hear that.
Yes, she has. Yeah.
It hasn't stopped the conspiracy theorists again, though.
No, it hasn't. Yeah.
So I did a video. I think she did what you were suggesting she should do. It just took her a bit of time.
Yeah.
I think she probably was, given what we know now, hindsight, she probably wasn't doing it because she was probably pretty stressed and unhappy and did not want to face the media, maybe. What do you think?
I think there was a poor decision on day one not to just do it.
Yeah.
You know, we are where we are now with people saying that video is AI for all sorts of various reasons because of all the other shit they did before. If they'd just put that out, no one would have said a fucking word in the first place. They kind of made a rod for the road back. Just poor decision making to begin with. There was a job position, wasn't there? I think someone just put a job position out. This might be one of these things that's a meme, but I'm sure it's a job position for $25,000 to help with communication and PR within the royal household.
No.
Yeah, London based $25,000. Who knows? That could be bullshit. So what else has happened in the world?
Moscow,
yes. So, would you like to talk about Moscow? We can talk about that.
Well, tragic loss of life.
Indeed.
Like, again, as unfortunate as unsettling as it is now these days when you get videos of these things circulating like you do, you know, of people just getting ended. You know, on the videos, it is a reminder of just how tits up things can go in a very short space of time. Like it's quite sobering, I think. You know, it's great. I think it's very easy on these things to you sort of talk about them in a otherworldly kind of way. You know, it's like in a way that dehumanizes the impact of them, of these events. You know, when you see that stuff, I can't stomach watching people get killed anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't stomach it. I hate it. And I say anymore, I think it was a time when definitely desensitized to it, obviously given what we used to do. I think it's partly because I'm getting older as well. Like, I don't want to see people getting ended in any way, shape or form. And there was a lot of people got ended in Moscow. Not good. However, the good news appears to be that we caught the perpetrators.
Indeed. Yeah. Because they did. I mean, they seemed like complete mongos. Like, if you're watching that initial video of them coming through the entrance and stuff, I think it's hard to watch that and think that they were like particularly switched on individuals. if you know what I mean. It looks
they're definitely
like,
not. You know,
it looks like a load of bumbling fools just, you know, cracking on. They perceive no, you know, prolonged decent training, have they? They probably had a little bit of training.
No, they know they appear like they look like they know how to load, unload weapons and pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Right. And I say pull the trigger, I'm deliberately not saying fire aim shots, for example, because they couldn't even do that. Yeah. Like pull the trigger. They didn't look like they were very well equipped. You know, one of them, like for people who aren't aware, the guy you may have noticed, the bloke with the sparks flying out of his rifle when he was shooting. That's not special ammunition. That's not anything else. That's not some like mental new silencer. That is because his barrel is bent. That is probably the reason. Yeah. Or, well, there were no silencers fitted. Well, I could see anyway. That's probably, or there's some other defect with the barrel. That's why it's sparking like that, which indicates a poor logistics side to this. Either shit supply of weapons or it's been a really, really short notice planned attack, and they've had to just gather weapons. They've been whoever planned this. They've had to very quickly gather together the resources to do it, weapons, ammunition, kit, whatever else. Well, they had a couple of them had chest rigs on, that was it. Short notice, get that kit together. Probably didn't even have time to test these weapons and got them from here, there, and everywhere. Probably nicked from somewhere, or maybe not, given the location, and then go out and do this attack. So, yeah, ISIS have claimed it. You would think, and based on historical evidence, that if this was a well planned operation, and not short notice. You can do well-planned operations at a short notice. You can do it.
Yeah,
this doesn't look like that. You know, they haven't taken up a carbon copy of a similar attack previous. Look at the, you know, our friend Christian Craighead. Look at Nairobi. You know, it's a different circumstance. Same kind of thing, though. You know, it's imprint. It'd be the same principles apply in that nature of attack, and you can carbon copy those across and just change a few things. You know, change the execution of it and pull it off a lot better than what these Muppets did in the attack in Moscow. It just looks poorly planned, poorly executed, poorly funded, poorly supported. Yeah. And even as you've mentioned, well, when we were chatting last week, even the exit plan, exit strategy, like, not very good at all. They got caught. Alive.
It isn't an exit plan, is it? Like, if you're looking at, you know, Islamic terrorism in general, generally there isn't an exit plan. And, like, I was surprised that they had an exit plan. You know what I mean? Like, general MO is, you ain't coming out of this, you're going to mark yourself, however you do it. Then you just get smashed up by whoever comes to, you know, clear the building. Or you've got some sort of, you know, explosive device or just whatever. You generally don't expect to walk away. I'm very surprised at these guys.
Well, what does that indicate? Like, what do you think that indicates?
Well, they were absolutely in it for the $5,000 or whatever they were paid and nothing else. So they don't seem to be. They're not acting like fundamental Islamists. That's not what they're acting like. They're acting like stupid guns for hire. You know, because their story is that they were recruited by some punter on Telegram. And then they would receive some training. I believe that was it Turkey? I think they said Turkey. But yeah, they received a bit of training. Some of it, I don't know if it was in person, but some of it via... They certainly mentioned that they downloaded like PDFs and shit to tell them how to do things. But yeah, they got however many rubles, but that's about $5,000. They were paid to do it. And that's what it seems like. It seems like idiot, desperate, whatever, for whatever reason that they're doing it, they're fairly desperate to go and do that. Yeah, they've been paid to turn up, smash a lot of people, no specific targets, just get to that place, go and smash the people up, and that's it. So they've smashed the people up, and then they've legged it. I think they were legging it towards the Ukraine border.
But
yeah.
But how far is that border from Moscow?
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day, weren't we?
See, let's have a look. Moscow. Where's Moscow? Moscow. Right. So we'll have a look at that. Moscow maps. Okay. Putin said he acknowledges that Islamic radicalists carried out the attack.
Yes, but he also did something else, didn't he?
Okay, Moscow. All right, so you're looking at, I don't know, 700k maybe?
Yeah.
Moscow to the nearest point in the border would be there. Yeah? Okay. Oh, 500k. 520k. 520k by road, and it's pretty much a straight line. And that is Moscow to Trubchevsky district.
Yeah.
Looks like the nearest point in the border. So not that far. And it is, and it's no closer to really than Belarus. It's probably the nearest place they could get to out of Russia. So either Belarus or Ukraine.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And like, is that a plan? Or is that, fuck it, let's get out of it? You know what I mean?
Has to be the plan.
Yeah.
How were the Moscow... Go on, sorry.
No, because the alternative is that, you know, they were going to stay behind and they were going to end their op, whatever you want to call it, in a traditional fashion of dying. And then they flapped, lost the bottle, decided they didn't want to do that, and they got a car and they tried to get to Ukraine. You know, was it planned or was it, did they lose the bottle? But, yeah. So who knows? Shit situation. Not totally sure how. I've been thinking about it. I mean, come at us in the comments. I'm probably being an absolute monk, but I'm not sure why ISIS gives a fuck about attacking Russia. It seems to me there might be better fucking targets currently. If you look at the world, there seems to be more obvious places that they'd be more interested in than attacking Russia. And I think Putin has kind of alluded to this.
Yeah.
It is Putin's opinion, I think, that he acknowledges that the people who did it were some sort of Islamic nutbags. However, he thinks they were paid off by, you know, he hinted at a combination of CIA / Ukraine. That's his opinion. Who knows? Who fucking knows? And we're not going to know. We're not going to know either. I think the main interesting thing for me on this is how quickly and how willing and how confident the Russians were with putting all of the stuff out. There was videos of them being interrogated and, you know, captured almost instantly after it happened. And I would have thought that if you're going to film somebody, obviously it wasn't live, so if you're going to film somebody being interrogated, you've got to be fairly happy that they're not going to say anything that makes you look fucking stupid. Obviously, they wouldn't put it out if they did, but you know what I mean.
Well, like what? Like what? Could it...
I don't know. Well, if you're interrogating that guy, what if they said, look at what Putin reckons. Putin reckons the Americans are involved somehow, or the Ukrainians are. That's his opinion. You're interrogating these guys and they start talking about those things, or they start talking about the opposite of that. It doesn't look quite so good, does it? You know what I mean? I just think it was interesting that they put that out, and if you consider what they were doing, it's interesting that they put that out as well. Like, literally the guy with his ear cut off and fed to the dude. Like, we've never seen that before. That quickly. That surprised me.
But that your assumption there is that release of information was coordinated and authorized from the top. It may not have been the case. Putin may not be happy that some of that stuff came out.
Yeah, I kind of get that. I get what you're saying, but I think, do you do that really? If you are Russian SF or whatever, whoever's, you know, I don't know who did it, high-level police, whoever, do you really put just randomly put that shit out, considering how Russia is supposed to be? As in, like,
yeah, I know. Yeah,
it seems like terrible professional.
Well, it depends on. I think it's maybe a cultural difference there with the military. I mean, they caught these guys red-handed, more or less, right? They know these are the guys who did the attack. Not like 4 days later, this could be them. They know those guys are, and maybe there's a culture there where you do crazy shit. It's like the gloves are off. It's okay to torture them. It's okay to release that footage because I don't know. Maybe it's just different to what we have. You know, we have complete lockdown on it, don't we? You don't do it. Obviously, you don't go torturing. Right, you don't get caught doing it either if you go and do it because you're an idiot, and then you certainly don't release any footage of it. So that could just be a cultural difference, but
yeah, maybe. Still surprised. I'm still surprised to see it. I haven't seen it before that quickly when stuff's happened. There's been other terrorist things happening in Russia in the past. We haven't seen that.
The other thing
I'm not
is,
trying to read anything massive into it. I'm literally like saying it surprised me.
The other thing is, if you were super, if you caught them, if you know 100% because you caught them so quick that it is them, there's no ambiguity there, and you are, and you're 100% confident of that, and then I don't. Then you know there's no risk of anything mental coming out in an interrogation, I think. And like you said, it wasn't live and they released that interrogation stuff.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
it was later on.
It wasn't live. So, like I said, if something mad would have come out that they didn't want people to hear, they wouldn't have released it. That's assuming that they're being professional and not like you're saying, where they just put it out.
Yeah. What about, though, so there's another piece to that we're talking about. So is Putin believes that there's Western influence on this attack, right? In some way, shape, or form. Now, he's not the only one who thinks that.
Yeah.
Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of people think that. And lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of people think that because there are known ties and influence of the West, USA predominantly, on ISIS from their development. Maybe not their... Not the seed of where they came from, you know, where they grew from, but definitely their development and capabilities. The US have been involved in that for sure, and the US's allies. And we know that's the case. Like, that's not a disputable fact. What surprised me was I've seen some accounts, British military accounts, prominent British military accounts, ex-military people. They seem to be commenting on the situation and appear to be totally ignorant of the fact that the West has been involved in positively supporting ISIS in periods along the way. And that actually may be a surprise to some people listening, but it is the case. It's evidence. It's there. It's proof. Certainly the US. It's there. It's like indisputable. So when you know that and you accept that, then all of a sudden the US being a key part of enabling this attack in Moscow is not a conspiracy theory. It's a viable, it's like, it is a realistic scenario. I'm not saying it is probable.
Yeah.
Like it's, I'm not saying it's probably what happened. I'm saying it's realistic. It's not a conspiracy theory. Yeah. You know,
there's two sides. It's what? It's three things, isn't it? One is ISIS just for some reason wanted to attack Russia and they did that. Seems fairly unlikely. The other one is Putin wants more leeway to do things in Ukraine and to escalate Ukraine. So this is a false flag thing against his own people in order to, and he wants to link it to the Ukrainians so that he can go and smash up Ukraine. And then the other one is what you're saying, where the US would quite like to regime change Russia, and so they need a while if they need to broaden the conflict within Ukraine to drag, basically poking the bear more. And so that he reacts, so they've got an excuse to go all out against Russia. And there's all sorts of, second, third order effects of that that may help the US administration currently. They seem to be the three options. And I don't think we've got no way of knowing. The ISIS just doing it for fucking shits and gigs doesn't seem likely to me. But no, I'm a retard.
No, I agree. Look, and the same thing's happened in Syria, right? As happened in Syria in the past. It's exact same kind of thing. So, Russia was battling ISIS in Syria, and the West was supporting ISIS. I say were, probably still are. I don't know about that. I don't know. But in the past, in order to destabilize and weaken Russia and not reduce their chances of success in Syria, the West, USA, and some allies were supporting ISIS. Fact. Indisputable fact. So, again,
that's
back
not to say that they. That's to be sensible about it. That's not to say they believe anything that fucking ISIS believe. They literally, these are some guys that it currently helps to support because you can use them in a manner that will help you long term.
Well, yeah, exactly. This is one of the exactly. This is one of the examples of a so-called proxy war. I think people hear the term proxy war, and some people don't understand what it means, and some people don't believe it because it sounds conspiratorial. But it happens. It's like it is a tactic that is being used for fucking eons, Your enemy is fighting someone else. They're not fighting you at the time, but they're fighting someone else. So support the person they're fighting to weaken them. So when it rolls around to you needing to fight the enemy, they've been weakened by someone else who you've been supporting, who you don't necessarily have to agree with at that time, like ISIS.
And you might fucking decide when they've served their usefulness that you just get rid of them all. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Another motivation for, I don't know, potentially for the US supporting this atrocity, enabling it, if that is the case, could be to try and weaken the public support for Putin in Russia. It could be to turn public support against, what they think Putin's doing in Ukraine. It could be a whole host of things. Again, another reason why it seems like a viable scenario is like, why Moscow? Why Russia? Why aren't they, why not Israel? Islamic fundamentalists, where, as we discussed last week, like the biggest problem that Muslims are facing right now, arguably, and the Islamic world is facing at the minute, is not happening in fucking Ukraine. And it's not happening in Russia. It's happening on the West Bank and in Gaza. Or Gaza predominantly right now. And it's not Russia doing that. It's Israel.
Yeah.
So it's just, again, odd choice of target for something so high profile and risky.
Yeah. That's why that, you just basically explain why that doesn't make any sense, that first option. It seems to be, it has to be one of the other two.
Could it be vigilante Islamic extremists just doing an opportunistic attack because they maybe got under some weapons and got a bit fired up? And then ISIS have subsequently claimed it not to lose face. Yeah, that was us, as opposed to just some random attack.
Well, yeah, that does happen. But then there's got to be an incentive for them to do it. What's the incentive for them to claim it? What do they gain by claiming it? I don't think they claim Why would you want to fucking smash Russia up and claim that you did it? You just go, no, these guys are fucking not. These guys are nutbags. Nothing to do with us.
Well, why would they do it if America asked them to then?
Well, is it? What do you mean?
Well, if let's say for a minute that the America enabling it, supporting it, coordinating it thing is true. Hey, what does that look like? Hey, ISIS, we want you to do this attack.
Yeah, but it's not done like that, is it? You find, because if it was pros, hardened fighters, done some shit, know what they're doing, plan and prepare properly and carry out effectively, then that's official. I mean, it's all cell structure, isn't it? But that's like more of an official thing. This looks like this was just, we need some nutbags. Give them a few quid. Chuck them a PDF about how to fucking load and unload a weapon and send them to do it. And
but why?
They've been lied to. So-and-so will pick you up here.
But why would ISIS claim it then?
I don't know what they have. I don't know. Don't know. Well, well, the reason you could look at that, if you're looking at it from the perspective that this is, that ISIS are, you know, a creation and certainly have a lot of influence over them from the US, then they claim it because they've been told to claim it. You know what I mean?
Claim it or else.
Kind of. Well, whatever. That's only if we're looking at it through that perspective. Yeah, we're saying this is something that the US is doing or have done, and are just using ISIS, or some nutbags who are then going to be claimed by ISIS in order to poke the bear, in order to make Putin react so that they can then react against him. If that's the lens we're looking at it through, then yeah, ISIS claims them because they've been fucking told to claim. That's, you know, and like people listening to this, some of this might be blowing their mind. And you might be thinking that me and Hugh are doing a weird fucking thing here where we're attacking the US and we're supporting Russia somehow. Like, we're just looking at it dispassionately. You know what I mean? Like, and we also don't claim to have any expertise in anything. The whole point of this podcast, whatever you want to call it, is it's two fucking idiots, me and Hugh, who you might run into on any fucking day of the week, at work, in the pub, whatever. It's me and Hugh just talking through what the fuck is going on. We're not trying to pretend that we know what the fuck we're talking about, because we don't. We're looking at the information that is available and going, what the fuck? And if you don't get any value from that, that's fine. If you just enjoy listening to this, it's like, these guys are stupid. That's fine too.
An important point in that as well is like the side taking. It should be pretty obvious by now that we will talk. We will not be put off talking badly or positively about X, Y, or Z nation or organization or entity or person, because we, you know, in case that clashes what our personal connection to that thing, you know, I fucking love the UK. I love the UK. I'm British. Also, you will have heard me saying bad things about it in the past. Or they sound bad. But again, it's just looking at it in an agnostic kind of manner. Again, it's analysis. You gotta. It's one of those. I think it's one of those. You've got to be aware of your own personal prejudices and biases in order to try and do an effective analysis of anything. And when I say effective analysis, within the limits of your capability. Yeah. That's not to say anything I say. You know, it's like effective analysis based on what you're capable of. Like, you know, my analysis of something, this right now, is only effective based on what I know, on my experience, my knowledge, my understanding of things, and the information I've learned about it. Put me next door to someone who is much more knowledgeable on it than me, some Russian expert, some ISIS expert, and all of a sudden, my analysis isn't so effective anymore.
Yeah, he just sits on his hands in the corner and says, sorry. Yeah, but that's it. Like I say, it's the important point about this. We do this because we find it interesting. You know what I mean? We're not doing it because you're not going to listen to this show.
That's not why I do it. That's not why I do it. I mean, I find it interesting.
Yeah.
But I do it because if I don't think about things like this, I will fall back into the state of mind I was less than five years ago, where I was blinkered with a lot of things, and my mind was not open to all of the possibilities that could bring X event about or situation about, because, to be honest, I was in the mindset of we goodies, everyone else baddies. If we're talking about like geopolitical events and defense security stuff, we goodies, they baddies. And that, unfortunately, is not the way things are. It's not the way things are.
Never has been. That's it. It's talking about it like a game is bullshit, but there are gangs on the planet. And we all start off somewhere different with different resources. And it's basically a game of survival. And we all do shitty things to shitty people. I know this is like fucking, people don't think anyone's really that naive. But we all do shitty things in the name of survival of our country, our people, our interests. And you don't turn around and say you're the people who are your citizens and go, guess what? Well, we had to go and fuck all these people over so that you're okay. Because most people, certainly nowadays, don't go, yay, us. They go, well, that's terrible. They can't, bad things need to happen in order for you to have a good life. That's just how it is. Really horrible things are done to people around the world so that you get up in the morning and you get left alone. And, the seg thing comes into this. Some of those people are within that community, have gone and done the fucking horrible things. So that you get up in the morning and you just get left alone. Like, there's no good or bad to it. Shitty situation. It's human nature. It's what we do. You know what I mean? So, it's pointless pretending that you are somehow the goody, because sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. Yeah. So you can't be naive enough to think that the people don't do real fucking shitty things in support of what they would term to be the greater good. Yeah. Everybody normally thinks what they're doing is probably for the greater good in some respects. Sometimes it's pure selfishness. But you can't get up. We're labouring the point anyway. So that's fucking, the world's horrible and we're all horrible. We're also all nice too. So Russia, that's sorted. Who knows what's going to happen though? No matter what happens, currently, Vlad doesn't appear to be doing anything about it. It doesn't seem to take, if we're with what we've spoken about with the US, if that is the correct thinking, then he doesn't seem to have done anything about it. He hasn't flapped. He's not taking the bait, which is important.
Well, he's in a real sticky position, right? If what we've alluded to before is correct, and that is that it's likely that they're trying to draw him into a war, direct war, they being
the US and NATO.
The US and NATO, yeah. And the military industrial complex and things like that, all those intertwined same things. Yeah. So he's in a real sticky position. Like he is really sticky position, but Russians are also mega at chess.
Yeah.
And when you've got, we've definitely, again, when you've got a country or a nation that is governed in the way they are governed and the way China are governed, they think decades ahead. They have a significant advantage they have a significant advantage over countries, unfortunately, that are run by modern democracies with modern politics, because the modern politics is flawed in those countries, UK included, and political moves are not done for the good of the country, generally. They're done for the good of the party, unfortunately.
If you play the devil's advocate on this, so from his perspective, let's be Vlad. Like, he knows currently that the US are trying to provoke him. That's his opinion. He believes the US are trying to provoke him into doing something. He's also, well, perhaps he is gambling on Trump getting it. Because...
Why?
Well, so Trump has always said he had a mega...
It's a good gamble. It's a good gamble.
Yeah. Well, Trump has always said that he reckons that they had a mega relationship, right? Now, I don't think that really matters. Vlad perhaps thinks he would get on better with Trump, or is able to manipulate. If you believe that the Biden administration currently are the ones who are, you know, stumping him, stumping Putin constantly, maybe he thinks if Trump gets in, Trump's a retard, and he can manipulate and will be able to get everything he wants out of the Ukraine situation. So he gets a ceasefire that he keeps all of his land. You know, he probably believes the terms for himself and his country will be better under Trump. For whatever reason, whether he has a good relationship or whether he thinks he can manipulate Trump or whatever. So perhaps you just let the fucking, let people bite him constantly, take little nibbles off him until that happens. If Trump doesn't get in, then maybe you see, he goes, right, fuck it. We have to do something about this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think Trump gets in. Trump holds direct support for Ukraine.
Yeah.
But in the process, forces a ceasefire deal, in which, like you said, in which Russia gets some of the land they want, but fighting stops in Ukraine, and Russia gets something up, fighting stops in Ukraine. America's out of Ukraine. Trump's happy because they're not involved in that war, which he obviously doesn't agree with. He said it before. Now, the losers in that are Zelensky. There is an argument to be made that the parts of Ukraine that Russia will claim back will be majority Russian heritage anyway.
Yeah,
you could argue. So minimal impact there. They, I don't know. I it doesn't seem that bad to me as an alternative to what it is now. Just, yeah, Ukrainians getting thrown into the fucking meat grinder.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be the best thing to do.
They're screwed. Ukrainians are screwed. That country is screwed. Because in 10 years' time, 5 years' time, 10 years' time, there's going to be a severe drought of men who can reproduce because they're all dying right now. Literally, generations have been wiped out.
Yeah. So I mean, it's kind of why I think Putin is just holding out to see if Trump can get in. Because that, you know, potentially puts an end to the whole thing and Putin will benefit from it. And if, for whatever reason, he takes the bait now, it gets worse. You know, he's in full-scale war then. If he takes the bait. If Trump doesn't get in, and you've got this same administration cracking on, at some point, you can't just keep having things happen to you. Like to clarify, we're talking about this as a hypothetical. We're not saying that we necessarily think that America is attacking Russia to provoke. It's obviously what Putin believes. So if that is the case, at some point, you've got to do something about it. You will have to retaliate eventually. That will happen. And that's bad for fucking all of us. That's World War III. And you can argue we're in World War III already. It's just not connected. Not fully kinetic, involving everybody yet, but it is actually happening. But yeah, everybody, unless you want to be fighting in Ukraine or a surrounding area, unless you want to be, unless you want World War III, you should be just, I think, hoping that this thing gets turned off somehow. And maybe you're a young guy, girl, whatever, and you're like, fuck it, yeah, I want to go to war, fancy that, be mega. That's fine. You know, you may get your chance. I don't think it's going to be quite as fucking fun as other wars are. The nature of warfare has changed. I don't particularly fancy getting changed by drones, do you? Yeah. Not a big fan of that. Fucking running around, having individual drones chasing me. It sounds like shit. It doesn't sound like a fun war. It doesn't sound like, not like a shit day out. What else have we got? We've sorted that, haven't we? What else is going down? We sorted it. Did you see the ship crash into the bridge in Baltimore?
Oh, I've just heard about this. Baltimore Bridge. I've just heard about it. Was it a ship crashing in, was it?
Yeah, it just piles in and crashes into the ship. Now, it looks like, if you watch the video, it's all a video. Not like a local security surveillance camera type thing, it looks like.
Yeah.
It's like sort of 3-4 minute video, and 33 seconds in, you'll see this is prior to it hitting the bridge, all the lights go off on the ship. So maybe there's some sort of, you know, catastrophic power failure, and that's why it hits the bridge. But whole bridge just fucking goes. And that's it, likely, apparently, to completely fuck over the port. So there's huge implications for that bridge going. It's not just a Bookshee bridge. It's like a lifeline to various things for the economy of Baltimore and the surrounding area. So it's a fucking big thing. Obviously, I'm assuming people have died as well, which is shit. However, there are. It's not a Bookshee thing.
No, well, when I saw it, it's a mass casualty event going on. They got a time lapse video of the ship hitting the Baltimore Bridge. Yeah, there's cars in the water and everything. This is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Time lapse video. Let's have a look at this.
Oh, yeah.
But that's yourself. A big old ship that I'm just watching now. There's a big old ship. Jesus. Yeah, lights go off.
Yeah.
Maybe that's an emergency measure, though.
Well, potentially.
Lights come back on. Lights went off and then came back on.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then they've gone off again.
Yeah.
On again.
Long video.
Oh, this is a time lapse, so I was speeding it up.
Okay.
Yes, they've gone on and off like 3 times now.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Right into the pillar, and the whole thing just spanks in.
Yep.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And there's cars on the bridge. There's workmen on the bridge. There's orange lights flashing, so there's work going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's not that many cars on it, actually.
No, I've watched it this morning.
Yeah, not that many on there. I can see it looks like there's only 4 on it when it hits.
Yeah.
2 get over about 5 seconds before. No, not 5 seconds. It's time lapse video, but yeah, it looks like it's 4. My God.
Yeah, not good.
No, not good.
Yeah. But obviously, like I say, much bigger implications than some people dying. That's not being, you know, callous. Or trying not to be callous. So some people have died in it, and that's fucking shit. But this is a fucking big thing. Interested to know what actually happened, how it happened. Because the place that people go to instantly is that it's some sort of human error. And it's just the person who was in charge of that was obviously shit. And that's why it happened.
And there's not that many people, actually, mate. So it was a commercial shipping vessel.
Right.
Right. So they're saying 4 rescued, 7 missing.
Okay.
Yeah, there was 4 wagons on the bridge, orange lights going, and it was a shipping vessel. But there are some people saying that it changed. Well, it did change course. Have you seen that?
No.
Have you not seen that?
No.
Yeah. If you watch it in the time lapse, it changes course, mate. I'm just going to go back to it now. I'll check. Let's go back. Sorry, people watching, listening. Does it change course? No, it doesn't.
If you're listening, you just need to start watching because it's a bit better.
Oh, it fucking does, you know. It does change course. It does. Yeah, it turns into it. Now, I'm going to hazard a guess that it's just like you said, it's a failure of some sort. Yeah. Lights gone on and off beforehand. Yeah, issue.
It looks that way, doesn't it? But it's like, even if it's not connected, it sparks, it ties into what lots of people are sort of seeing over the past 5-10 years, maybe. Certainly the last 5 years. Lots of things just seem to be going wrong. Didn't used to go wrong.
Go on.
So this might be completely, it might not be connected at all. You know the way Pilagi talks about the people who built the things are dying off, and the people who now are inheriting the things or taking over the things they didn't build it. They don't quite understand how to run the system, how to fix the things. So that's why things are going wrong. That's his thought, isn't it?
Who says this?
Pilagi.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're
talking about, so he's saying that in the context of societal collapse is on the way, right?
But he's saying that in the context, that this is happening kind of everywhere. So he talks about it in terms of people just actually inheriting things. Like, you always use the New York Times as an example, isn't it? As in, like, the people who built it knew what they were doing. The people who inherited it have just used it. They can't rebuild it. They just inherited it. They don't understand how it works, and that's why standards are changing. It's all going a bit dog shit. But it applies to other things as well. I did like an hour with my missus talking about this morning, and we didn't argue, which is amazing. I do quite well with that. I was having sensible conversations without arguing.
Is that the Hue effect? Can you credit that to me?
No. Because she just went quiet when you were there. she didn't argue because she just was trying to be polite.
I'm not going to talk to this Muppet. I was going to stay quiet.
Yeah. Well, it's two against, potentially two against one, isn't it? So she's not going to fight like that. It's hiring practices as well. It's the DEI thing, which might not be a thing. It might be a thing. It might not be a thing. It all ties into a problem with people doing things who aren't really qualified properly. They're not the right people, whether they're not being trained properly or they're just not the right person there. Lots of these things seem to be going wrong. There's lots of things just going on fire. Yeah, nothing seems to be working quite so well anymore. And why is that? And maybe these things have always happened and we just only know about them because of the internet. That's possible. But maybe not. Things certainly don't seem to be getting better. Fucking doomer. Just talk doom, Gaz. Just be real fucking miserable. Yeah. Head of Boeing's left, hasn't it? The head of Boeing has sacked it. Maybe tied into the same thing. Boeing have had loads of problems recently with their planes falling to pieces. He has now sacked it. He's pulled the plug and legged it.
About the CEO?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, last couple of days. Maybe yesterday. Yeah, so, tanked their stock price. It's all gone to shit. And now he's off.
Can I speculate and say he got a massive payout?
Maybe he did.
So, look. Well, why didn't you have a look? Payout.
Try to think what else has happened.
Jesus.
What? Good old payout.
Well, no, just looking at what you got. I'm looking at what you get paid.
Does he get paid?
Fucking hell.
Is he skids?
It's like it's multiples of millions, as in multiple tens of millions a year. Yeah, he's so.
And I'm fairly sure Google the stock price. I'll Google the stock price. So I'm pretty sure
it's dropped 40%.
Yeah, fucking mega.
80%. Yeah. Do you know what's going through the roof?
What?
NVIDIA.
Well, that's been for ages.
I know, but it's non-stop, mate.
Yeah.
It's at $950 at the minute per share, and it was half of that at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
You know, it was like fucking mental.
It's the race for compute.
It's the what?
The race for compute.
Yeah, exactly. So when I, you know, before, until a few years back, when I thought of NVIDIA, I thought, oh yeah, computer games, graphics cards. Well, before I started getting into crypto mining,
yeah.
And then when I started doing that, built that rig I had, then I realized, oh, graphics cards are used for other things.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Yeah,
AI driving this, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think they've got a big AI development program, I think, as well.
So we also get huge Coco, Google Coco. You'll see what that's done.
Coco.
Yeah. I haven't looked at why it is. I'm sure.
What do you mean Coco? What do you mean Coco?
As in like Coca, like fucking Coca beans.
Coca beans. What are we googling about them?
Fucking, it's like stock price. Commodity stock price.
Of a company called Coco.
No, fucking, I'll do it. Right, you talk for a bit and Gaz will
You said Google it. Cocoa beans. I'll talk for a bit.
Yeah, you talk.
Crypto in general. In fact, anything tech is going through the fucking roof. Anything tech. I caught up with Chris Shirley this morning. Not relevant, but Chris Shirley.
See.
Bootneck, RMP, Tales of the Adventure podcast, Tales of the Adventure events. House of Hiatus, brand agency.
Right. So.
Go on, Coco.
Coco.
I found that hard then, by the way. I found that hard to just talk about anything.
Okay. So, November last year, I don't know what this is per, but like 3,545.
What is?
That, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm assuming the commodity. Well, however you. Like, I don't do it like commodity, so I don't know. So whatever
you mean you beans? Buy, you're talking about the beans?
Yeah. Beans. So whatever you buy cocoa in, or coca, however you say it. So around 3,700 at the end of last year. And today it is 9,828. And that's only happened in the past, it's only gone fucking vertical last month. Pretty much.
Looking at why.
Yeah. Why? Is it El Nino or something like that?
Well, on to Euro News.
Sorry if you don't give a shit about this. I don't even give a shit about this.
Fucking cargo beans. This is random information. According to Euro News, the latest hike up is because there's a basic supply issue. Dry weather impacting cocoa harvests in West Africa.
Yeah, there you go. Really interesting.
Sorry, yeah, what's going on in Haiti at the minute? What's happened in Haiti recently?
Everyone's been eaten. They're all dead. Well, there's a big barbecue happening.
Oh, on the subject of cannibalism, was it San Francisco?
Yeah. Giza eating a foot or a leg. Yeah.
Car so crash. Car crash, woman gets her foot severed, homeless person, goes, gets the foot and is eating the foot on the sidewalk, raw.
Yeah, definite, Western civilization, definitely on the up. 100%. Go to the moon. Fucking crackers. Like, this stuff didn't used to happen.
It didn't used to happen in the places it's happening now.
Yes, that's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point. It's like places that are, they used to be kind of top of the tree. We don't have these problems. We do have these problems now.
I think also, because of because of the ability to distribute information, videos, audio and all that, it makes things more acceptable to more people. Like, you know, let's take the example of homeless man eating amputated foot from car crash victim, right? I can guarantee you there are people who have seen that, right, who in their brain, it is a little bit less of a taboo than it was before they saw that video, right? So they think it's less of a taboo than when they saw that video because they wouldn't have ever seen it before. Thought, oh God, do you think anyone, what would you do if you saw someone eating someone's foot that was amputated from a car crash? And they go, oh my God, it'd be disgusting, but it would never happen because that's crazy. That person who's the same person who said that then sees a video of someone doing it, then thinks it's more realistic, it is more acceptable than it was before. Not that it is acceptable. That means that person is more likely to do it themselves than they were before, right? They're still highly unlikely to do it, right? But the more people that impacts, that means in general, the acceptance, there is more acceptance of that behavior than there was before it was videoed and distributed.
Yeah, right? Desensitization at scale because of the internet.
Yeah, but desensitization at scale is one aspect of it, yeah.
Yeah,
one aspect.
It's probably true.
If you see someone else doing something, it seems more, you are less likely to not want to do it if you're asked to.
Okay. I'm not totally convinced, but maybe.
No, that's basic psychology.
I don't know. It depends what it is.
Me, with all my psychology degrees.
I know, yeah.
That's basic psychology.
Yeah, I think it depends.
I don't have a psychology degree, by the way. Yeah. Never mind multiples.
Yeah, it seems like it does depend on what it is.
No, but I know. If you see other people doing something, then it's acceptable, more acceptable.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But I think it depends on what
the amputated foot is an extreme example.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, I don't know. Yeah, it's probably so much of an extreme example as to be not be a fairly useless example. Like, put your shopping cart back, your shopping trolley back. You see, when everyone just stops doing it, everyone stops doing it because they see more people stop doing it. Why should I bother? I'm not doing that, and that's the basic standards and values of society degrading. But that's true. It's just like, I think we got, I think there's a while to go before we're eating each other on the street and it's fine because you saw a guy do it once.
I don't think it's fine. Maybe he's a Haitian. Hey, listen. Maybe he did that because he saw the videos of the Haitians doing it. And proved my point.
Maybe he did. You need to find him. Send him an email. Yeah. Email that guy.
Crazy. America.
We're done, aren't we? You've got to go in a sec.
Yeah, sorry. Is that right?
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. Right, come back. Beast us. Let us know what the gen is. We had some more paid subscribers this week, so that's good. So, yeah, people obviously enjoy listening to two idiots. Gob off.
Do you know what? I'd love to get inside the mind of an emergency responder who in the UK who's seen that Baltimore thing unfolding and must be thinking, fuck me, can you imagine responding to that? Because that's the first thing I thought. Can you imagine responding to that? My God. Imagine being the person that makes the call. Mm-hmm. You get the call, you go, 911. What do you need? Ambulance, police, or fire service? Fucking all of them.
Yeah.
Like submarine service? Navy?
Submarine service.
What's the problem? The bridge has collapsed. And then you're the receiver, the handle on the other end, like, what the fuck? And you pass that on to all of them. And then you're the policeman receiving that call. Or the Coast Guard. If it is a Coast Guard on the river. Like, my God. Where'd you start? Where'd you start with that?
But that's why the people who go into those jobs, that's why they do those jobs. Back to fucking SEG. True. Those sorts of people deliberately go into those jobs to do those kind of things for those challenges. And obviously there's complete fucking dog shit side of that, because you see some shit things and you're in some horrible situations and you make horrible decisions and all that stuff. Those people,
the right thing to do in that scenario where you don't know what to do is you get yourself there, you fucking go, you get your kit without an ambulance, without a police car, without a fire engine, without a grab bag because you're in some other organization or you have some other past, and you just get there. You just fucking, or if you're Joe Bloggs, you're an office worker and you hear that Baltimore Bridge has gone down, you just fucking go there. Fucking go. Yeah.
If you're in the way, someone will tell you to fuck off.
Exactly. You go there if you think you can help. You know? And most of the time, if you were going there with that attitude, by default, that is help enough. You're not going there to take a video. You're going there to go, what can I do? What skills have you got? I don't know, but I just tell me what I'm going to do. Okay, go over there and stop people going down that road. Go over there and ask those people to stand back. Go and call this person. It's like you don't need special skills. You just need the right attitude. Get there and help.
Very true.
Yeah. Anyway, on that note.
Like, go do something useful. Go and help someone, Hugh. Go find someone to help. You're fucking beyond help. Go find someone who can... In fact, yeah. Go find someone who can help you. with your pink shirt.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Until the next time.
See you later.
Cheers, folks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.